9:00 a.m. The Marine Resources Commission. Next item on the agenda is the Elizabeth River Project 08-2238.
Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner, Associate Commissioner.
Good afternoon, sir.
This project is unprotested, but it's unique, as a lot of them are. And it does involve conversion of state-owned subtidal bottom to intertidal marsh, but we're not going to get into a lot of those issues, I hope. Elizabeth River Project is requesting authorization to dredge 800 cubic yards of PAH contaminated sediment, create 1.3 acres of tidal marsh over subtidal bottom, 3.5 acres of oyster reef habitat, and 3.5 acres of clean sand bottom benthic habitat offshore of the Money Point property in the southern branch of Elizabeth River. This is all part of an environmental enhancement project. It's phase one of a larger project that's foreseen in the future. In this case, all the sediment will be removed mechanically and disposed of at an upland site in Charles City County, offloaded at Weenack. Google aerial. This is Southern Branch coming down. This would be the high-rise bridge, Military Highway, Gilmerton Bridge, heavy industrial zone on the Chesapeake and Portsmouth side. A little closer look. Again, Gilmerton Bridge for reference. This land mass here is known locally as Money Point. Industrial area has been that way for years and years. This is St. Julian's Annex. This is from our Vegan series, the most recent high-altitude aerials that we have. The area that we're talking about today is generally located to the south of this pier. This is the Hess gas dock and down in this region. This area of upland is currently undeveloped, and there's also a current permit for a tidal wetland creation in the upland area along this fringe. They came to us needing a permit for the tie-in from upland to subtidal bottom to get the proper drainage for the tidal marsh. This is actually not an aerial. I think Joe Rieger climbed on top of a silo and got this picture, but this is kind of how it looks on a good day. The history of this project and the contaminated sediments basically date back to one upland property owner, which is Eppinger and Russell. Since their inception in the 1880s, they were discharging wastewater directly into the Elizabeth River, and probably a lot of that wastewater had some component of creosote in it. In 1963, there was a very large fire spilling 130,000 gallons of raw creosote into the river. Later in 67, tank rupture, depositing another 20,000. This is essentially the goo that folks associated with the Elizabeth River Project will refer to. Virginian pilot photos in 63. These tanks here are the Hess tanks that you saw in the previous drawing, maybe newer ones, I don't know, but for reference, the project that we're discussing today would be in this section of river to the south, and just, I believe their pier comes in here. As a result of extensive research and scientific study of this area by numerous different agencies and institutions, it's been determined that PAH contamination, polyaromatic, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, are the creosote, are the chief source of contamination in this area. The majority of that contamination exists at the surface down to about a foot. After a foot, it drops off significantly. In this particular project, there is a hot spot, if you will, where 800 yards of contaminated material will be taken out, and the lesser contaminated area adjacent and surrounding will be covered with the clean fill sand, the oyster shell, and the intertidal marsh as a bioengineered cap. I mention this because to the north of that pier would be phase two, where there's 85,000 cubic yards of contaminated material with concentrations three times what we're seeing in this southern area. These are project drawings from some of the preliminary work that was done. On the left, basically, the surface contamination levels. For reference, this break is essentially where the pier is. If you go over here, you can see the pier that demarcates phase one, or the southern area, from the central and northern area. Again, for this project, we're just concerned with this area in here. The key showing what your concentrations of PAH surface are. This is the hot spot for the 800 yards of up to 1,000 parts per million will be removed from the river completely. It'll be taken off-site, upland. There's a treatability study to look at what can be done with that kind of sediment in the event. They go in and try to remove some of this and also treat it for future end use. On the right-hand side is essentially the proposal. Existing mean low water shoreline here. Going offshore, there would be a sill created, a low water rock revetment, if you will, freestanding rock sill that will contain a lot of the fill brought in once this area is dredged. I should have stated that. This will be dredged first. The sill will be created, the fill will be established, and the elevations will be verified before it gets planted. Offshore of that, this is the area of oyster reef, one-dimensional oyster reef, which will be 8 to 10 or 12 inches of oyster shell. The entire area will be overlain with a foot of clean sand fill. So dredge the hot spot, put the sand down over the entire area, and then at that point, whether the shell is introduced, I'm not sure, but that's basically the sequence of remediation. A little bit more detail showing that area. Again, keeping in mind, this is the current low water shoreline, the current boundary between public lands and private upland. What's not shown on this slide is another, the marsh creation that I spoke of earlier will essentially expand the boundaries of this marsh. But again, that was all done on the upland with the exception of the small cuts for drainage that they needed a permit from outside of this 5 to 10 yards of material. The sill containing and protecting the marsh, the oyster shell, and the sand bottom. What you see here is this outer dashed line to the central dashed line is the Federal Navigation Channel that the Corps of Engineers maintains. This area has been dredged over the years. That material, because it's based on navigation, can go to Craney Island. This material that's being removed is not for navigation, so it cannot go to Craney Island. This is the spur channel off of this narrower boundary, off of the federal channel that Hess and other property owners are responsible for maintaining and will continue to maintain. Again, any creosote material, any contaminated material, it's my understanding, is provided it's related to navigation and okay with the Corps of Engineers, we'll go to Craney Island dredge management area. Just a summary of what's going on here. The area will be planted with spartina, and this is about 750 linear feet, even though it meanders of sill. And everything, again, channelward of this line is on subtidal bottom. So everything landward of this gray line is a conversion of public subtidal bottom to what will remain public marsh. This is from that previous drawing. This is the specific plans that were drawn in. The area in green is what we're talking about here, dredge hotspot, and then the enhancement area. This area in red is the larger north being to the right of the screen, area where it'll just be dredged and removed as it stands now, 85,000 yards of more heavily contaminated material. Section view of the elevations that will be created, existing. Once again, this existing, if you will, is proposed, because we haven't gotten to the low tide shoreline. This is the cut area on the upland and the channel that was previously permitted in the marsh creation associated, starting at about, if you were to carry mean low water across to about here, everything to the left of my arrow would be subtitle bottom, marsh creation, sill to contain and protect the fill, oyster shell in the near shore area on the layer of sand, and then beyond that would just be sand. Some ground shots at a good low tide. Looking north, that's the pier that demarcates the terminus, the northern terminus of this project. All these old piles will come out. Jim's going to use a shovel to get those out, I think. You can see along here there is some eroded shoreline, whether it's active detrimental erosion. There's loss of marsh here. And this marsh will continue upland and outward with both the prior marsh creation project and the proposed project. And general cleanup along the shoreline will occur throughout the project. So that's, in a nutshell, what is being proposed at this point. I'll real quickly go through the comments. You've had them in your packet, essentially. Anyone that had anything to say about it is not opposed. There's a lot of endorsements. A lot of folks were involved in this from the Watershed Action Team, including folks from EPA, Corps of Engineers, NOAA, Fish and Wildlife Service, VMRC, DEQ, DCR, ODU, VIMS, NSU, and I put ODU before VIMS just because I'm ODU, and VIMS gets too much credit out here, Norfolk State. And the project that you see here is basically a compilation of everyone's comments on what could be feasibly done there with the money that's available, with all of the upland concerns, maintaining navigation, and so forth. VIMS has indicated that complete removal of all the contaminated sediments would be the preference. Short of that, they agree that the selected alternatives of the southern portion of the site is appropriate for the contamination levels present, and states that the net result of the project will be a beneficial increase in the quality and quantity of wetland and subaqueous habitat. VIMS does recommending minimizing impacts during construction and maintenance, standard BMP type issues, access issues, to minimize disturbance while the project is being constructed. The local wetlands board in Chesapeake approved it in January. Corps of Engineers issued their nationwide 27 in January. By virtue of that nationwide permit, DEQ doesn't require a water protection permit. In summary, staff here at VMRC has been involved with this particular project since its inception and is represented on the Watershed Action Team. We concur with VIMS. The best thing to do would be get all the contamination out of the river. Given the fiscal and logistical constraints of that approach, we support the chosen alternative as being the best use of available funds in this habitat improvement project. We did have concern over the conversion of public state-owned subtitle bottom into upland for much of the reasons we've spent just prior to lunch, you know, title and ownership and responsibility. And we did feel that there's an agreement needed between the applicant permittee and VMRC with who owns what and who's responsible for maintaining what. We received a letter, item 6 in your packet, from ERP responding to our concerns, and we feel their response has essentially addressed those concerns. In addition, while we normally would recommend a royalty for that loss, if you will, of subtitle land, not the loss to the title of the subtitle land, but the loss of habitat value of that subaqueous bottom, given the ultimate result of isolating the sediments underlying the state lands and the habitat improvement, we didn't feel a royalty would be necessary. This is a non-for-profit project that is using monies that had been accrued from the Marist project, APM terminals, and so forth, that is paid into the Elizabeth River Trust Fund, and that fund dictates, that board dictates where monies can go. So, again, we're not recommending a royalty. We are recommending a royalty for the dredging because we're bound by code. We are, however, willing to accept the minimal, which is 20 cents per cubic yard, of that range of rates for the royalty. That 20 cents per cubic yard would equate to $160 of dredging royalty. We also recommend that ERP, the Elizabeth River Project, be required to monitor and maintain the intertidal marsh, which will be created over public state-owned bottom in perpetuity, and that the ownership of the underlying submerged lands underneath the marsh will remain with the Commonwealth. We asked and got a response to establishing the existing low water or mean low water line at the time just prior to construction. That has been done with GPS coordinates to the satisfaction of our surveying department and staff. I would probably say that if this project doesn't get started in the next 10 years, we would ask that be resurveyed so that the existing mean low water line at the time just prior to construction be established and verified. With that, there are some folks here to address anything that I didn't cover. Let's see what I missed here. Going back to the VGIN, the area in concern, stopping here. And I guess I could probably leave that up here if there's any questions specific to the special permit conditions we're recommending.
Any questions for Jay? Good job. Thank you. Is anyone here in support of the project would like to speak? Good afternoon. How are you? State your name for the record.
Marjorie Mayfield Jackson.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, serve to God. Continue, please.
I'm the executive director of the Elizabeth River Project. And just want to thank the staff. Jay did a great job. Presenting things, and it's great to work with the staff through the issues. It's a really important project as we move forward with cleaning up the Elizabeth River, and just appreciate your support. We do have Mike Over from Ben, Ben Cahoon from Bay Environmental, who worked on the design, and Joe Rieger, who's our biologist and project manager, if you have questions.
I'll check and see, but it sounds like a good project to me, for sure. Any questions, the staff? I mean, from the commission for one question. Mr. Schick.
As far as the project, capping the existing material, spoiled material underneath, I guess, the first layer of sand, any scientific data that talks about problems with leaching or, you know, coming back to the surface or, you know, just something that's for the record?
So I'm going to swear testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, self of God. State your name for the record, please.
To answer your question, the caps have been used pretty successfully throughout the United States and the world. And at this particular site, because of the lower levels of contamination, the isolation with the sand, will be a feasible remedy for this particular area. Now, in other areas, what you just described can happen where when you cap the area, if you have a really high concentration of contamination, it can leach through that sand material and then out into the water column. But here, because we're dealing with lower levels of contamination, it would be an effective remedy for the particular area that we're capping.
Further questions? Thank you, Joe. Good to see you. Is anyone here in opposition to the project? Matters before the commission. Dr. McConaughey.
I would move that we accept the staff's recommendation. It sounds like a very good project, and removing some of this from ability to get PAHs into the water column is an excellent project.
Seconded by Mr. Schick. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much.